It's good to be here this evening. Got quite a few of our people missing. All the young people are gone over there to Chama, and then the Yazis went, and Riley went, and my wife is gone, and my two daughters are gone. I thought Paige was going to be able to make it, but I don't know. She may come in here in just a little bit. But we're going to be in Psalm chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107. And we were in this chapter last week. And we looked at different pictures of redemption. And the Bible gives us four pictures of redemption. We looked at those and how that the Lord saves certain people and how that He saves them and the situation and the circumstances that they find themselves in and how God saves them and brings them out of those circumstances. And we saw how that He rescues and redeems the people who wander in the wilderness. Then he rescues and redeems those who are bound in chains and being afflicted in iron chains in verse number 10. And then those who are on death's door and about to die, he redeems them. And then the wayfaring seamen in verse number 23. There's four pictures right there of the redemption of God for people. And we're going to read verses 33 through 43 this evening. And we're going to look at observations of the wise. Observations of the wise, and we find that in the last verse of the chapter. The psalmist makes this comment at the end of the chapter, and he's referring back to everything that he just talked about in the entire chapter. And if we're wise, we will observe the things that are found in this chapter. And if we're not wise, then we'll just have a different outlook. We'll have a skewed outlook about things. And everyone has a viewpoint, or everyone has a way that they look at the world and the way that things happen in the world. Everyone has that viewpoint, whether you're an atheist or agnostic or whatever you are. Everyone has an observation or a viewpoint that they have. Well, the Christian has a viewpoint as well. And a foolish man would not take the Christian viewpoint. He'd be a fool not to take the Christian viewpoint. But we're going to look at some observations of the wise here this evening. And I hope that each and every one of you are wanting to be wise. I don't think anybody here wants to raise their hand and say, "Hey, I'd like to be ignorant. I'd just like to be stupid for a while." I don't think anybody would want to do that. So, oh, Brother Butler? No. No, he doesn't. He's just kidding. But we're going to look at the observations of the wise here this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've given to us and blessed us with, Lord. We thank You for the wisdom that is found in Your Word and in this book. Father, we pray that You'd bless the preaching and bless the words that are spoken here this evening. Lord, we have nothing without You. Lord, we can't understand anything without Your Holy Spirit. So I pray that Your Holy Spirit would use the words that are spoken and preached here tonight, and You'd apply them to the hearts of each and every one here this evening. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read verses 33 to 43, and the psalmist kind of makes a little transition here, and he's going to start talking about several different things that happen in nature. He says in verse number 33, and this is talking about the things that God does. These are things that God does. "He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, and that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. He setteth the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The text there says, if we will observe the things that he has just been talking about throughout this entire chapter, that we will be wise and we will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I do want to understand the love of God. And God shows it to us in many different ways throughout the world. And he's just showed us these things in these last few verses of how that he shows his love, not only to his own people. I mean, you can apply this to only his chosen people, which would be the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but also to everyone. God shows his love and his loving kindness to everyone upon the face of this earth. And yet people go through life and they don't observe the way that God shows his love to people. They look at things and they look at creation and they look at all of the things that happen in their life. They drive down the road and they observe things, but they don't notice that it is God who's the one who is providing all of those things. And I don't know what you observe or what lenses you view the world through, but everyone looks through a lens when they see the world, when they see government, when they see sin, when they see the crops outside, when they see hail coming, when they see all of these things, they view those things through a lens. What kind of a lens are you looking through when you see everything? When you see a storm coming, or you see a natural catastrophe or something like that, what do you think about that? You think, oh, well, it just happened, and, you know, it would have happened anyway, and, oh, Mother Nature, she's getting stirred up again, and, you know, those people got hit by a hurricane over there. Is that the way that you view things? Or do you say, look, God is doing something here. God is in control of the weather. God is in control of all of these things. And I hope that you have eyes to see here this evening the love of God for his people. Throughout this chapter, we've seen this all the way through the chapter. We see the love of God for people who do not deserve it, and for people who are weak and fallible and can't save themselves. And we saw those four pictures of redemption last week, and then the psalmist transitions into natural things, and that God places a people in a country and he provides for them and watches over them and gives them the things that they need. Those are expressions of God's love to people. And so I want us to have the right kind of view whenever we look at things out there in this world, because it matters the way that you see things. It matters the way that you observe things. To observe something means to take note of it, to look at it, to meditate on it, to think about it. Hey, why is this happening? Why are these things going on here? So we must have eyes to see. So we see the providence of God in view through all of these scenarios that we just read here. I don't know if you caught all of these things, but the way that God provides, and he's bringing things to completion and to a point in history and in time right now. God is working throughout all of these things. I don't know if you have that lens that you look through or you look at those things that way, but I hope that you do, because we serve a powerful God that is in control of all things. God is a God who transforms. And we saw this in this text here. God is a God who transforms the weak to the strong. God is a God who transforms the blind to sight, the deaf, dead to life, the poor to rich, the unrighteous to righteous. He does all of these things. And if you were to study this chapter out thoroughly, you'd see that those people who were on the bottom, God lifted to the top. And those people who were on the top came back down to the bottom because of what God did. And so we see God's providence throughout this portion of Scripture here. And the text tells us that a wise man will consider these things and observe these things about God and man if we want to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, if you don't want to look at those things or observe those things, you're not going to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hey, an atheist does that. They look around at the world around them and say, hey, stuff's just happening. I don't know why it's happening. There's no rhyme or reason. Don't know why, but it's happening. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the love of God. So I want you to consider and observe three facts about God in the world and the world in which we live. The first thing that we can observe is His command over nature. That's the first thing. His second one is His accommodations for people. The third one is His control over kings. So we'll look at the first one, His command over nature. We read these things in verse 33 to 35. The Bible says, He turns rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. Did you know that God can do that? A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. Did you know that, you know, here we live in Portales, New Mexico, it's not the wettest place in the world, is it? No. Did you know God could send us a lot of rain here to this place? Even though that's kind of uncharacteristic for Portales, New Mexico, He could do that. He could turn it into the greenest place on the planet if He wanted to. Too bad it's not right now. I pray that He will. Or He can make it even drier if He wanted to. He could do that. But yeah, many times we look around at the weather, we say, well, the weatherman says it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and it's the high-low thing that's coming in, and, you know, it's just Mother Nature. No, that's God. That's God working through weather and commanding it. He has command over the weather. Now, I know most people in the United States will probably think I'm a nut for saying stuff like that. They'll say, haven't you ever studied meteorology or anything like that? It's Mother Nature. No, it's not. It's God. God commands nature and transforms it to His uses and His purposes. The Bible says here that He's going to use weather to punish the wicked. It says, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. If a people are going to deny God and rebel against God, God can send a famine. God can send a heat wave. God can keep it from raining. God can send a tornado or a flood or a hurricane. He can do any of those things. God can transform a fruitful land into a desert because of the sin of those people. Did it in the Bible. You ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah decided that they were going to defy God and not going to follow His commandments or what He said to do. And God rained down fire and brimstone upon that land. Amen. And the Bible says before God started on that land that it was a fruitful land, that it was a green land, that it was a lush land, that it looked like the Garden of Eden before He got a hold of it. But then the inhabitants of the land defied God and said, I'm not going to listen to what God has to say, and we're going to do our own thing, and God turned it into a salt pit. Still like that today. God can use the weather. The United States better watch out. God could send us a famine. Real easy. Run out of water, run out of food, things like that. God, and what was God saying whenever He sent fire and brimstone down from heaven into Sodom and Gomorrah? What would you think that God was trying to communicate to those people in that land? He was trying to say, hey, I hate that sin that you're engaged in. Amen. I hate it. And we're going to do away with it. He was expressing hatred and contempt for their sin and rebellion, and He was also expressing His love for righteousness and obedience. Amen. That's what He was doing with nature. So God can use the weather, and when a nation refuses or rejects God and His created order and design, He's going to bring judgment upon that land. And let me tell you something here today. That's the most loving and just thing that God can do, is to bring judgment like that. That's an expression not only of His anger, but also of His love right there. What would you think about a land or a nation that let rapists and murderers run around on the streets free? What would you think about a nation like that? Oh, what a loving nation. Wow. They just let them go free? Don't do anything about it? No judgment? Judge not lest ye be judged. That's not a loving nation.
Amen.
Not at all. God sent many natural phenomena into the land of Egypt because of Pharaoh's rebellion against God. He sent flies and lice and darkness and all of the frogs, all of these things into that nation, into that land. Why? Because they had rebelled against God. Those miraculous events, by the way, not only an expression of his disdain for the rebellion, but of an expression of his love to his people. He said, I'm going to bring my people out of Egypt with a mighty hand because I love those people and I'm bringing them out. And God can use nature for the good of his people too. Hey, we've been blessed in the United States of America. More than probably, I don't know, but I bet you any people up on the face of this earth, America has been blessed. He can send rain to something that was once a desert. He can transform it into something good. It says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 18, I will open the rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water. God can do those things. He's in control of it. We think about the lyrics to America the Beautiful. It says, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, oh, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. That's true. God's been gracious to us.
Amen.
You see those purple mountain majesties? God gave us those. You see those amber waves of grain where all of those plants are growing? God gave us those. That's a blessing from God. That's God shedding his love upon people that do not deserve it. One of these days, God is going to completely restore the entire planet. You want to talk about, man, some nice weather. God is really going to shed some love upon this place. There ain't going to be no mosquitoes and no flies and no hot weather, no 105 degree weather, no too dry weather. Man, it's going to be beautiful. God is in control of the weather. I'd like to have you to observe the God's command over the nature this morning or this evening. We're not in mourning anymore. You see things happening. Man, don't look through the lens of, oh, well, that would have just happened anyway. No. No, God is communicating something to us. It's an expression of his love. After God transforms the land into something useful, you know what he does? He brings people into it. Verse number 36 to 39, God has accommodations for his people. He brings people into a land. Man, that's an expression of God's love to people. Verse 36 to 39 says, there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And it is so nice, it's so great to come into a land and you can build a city. You can do something great with that land that God's given to you. And sow fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of its increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly and suffers not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. What does God do? God brings a people into a land, and man, he lets them multiply. He lets them flourish. He lets them do all kinds of things in the land. God brought the nation of Israel into the promised land and let them flourish, let their cattle multiply and grow, and gave them crops and food and everything that they needed. Man, he's got some accommodations for people. Aren't you glad about that here this evening? That's an expression of God's love towards people. God makes the hungry to dwell in this land. They build a city in this place. They sow fields and plant vineyards and their cattle are increased. The ground brings forth fruit and food. You know who did it? What Mother Nature? It was God.
Amen.
God allows the land to bring forth food. Anybody here got a garden? Got a couple of farmers in here. God brings forth all that food that we are able to enjoy. I know we all love food here, but God could stop the ground from bringing forth food and fruit. God cursed Cain for murdering his brother. Cain was the first murderer. God said, I'm going to curse you for what you did to your brother since you spilled your brother's blood upon the land. That land is not going to bring forth food and fruit for you. He said, you're not going to be able to have a crop. You're not going to be a farmer. Why? Because God is in control of what the ground brings forth. God told Israel if they obeyed His voice and did what they were supposed to do and were a peculiar people to Him and obeyed His commandments, God said, you'll be fruitful. Man, your land will bring forth food and fruit. You'll have abundance of food. But if you don't, the land is cursed. It's not going to bring forth any food for you. And it happened. God cut off all of the food. Did not let them have it. God says if they didn't obey what He said, that they would their women would go without bearing children. God's in control of that too. He's in control of all of the fruit-bearing things that go on upon this land. I recognize that we as Americans are not God's chosen people, but we're reaping the benefits of God's blessings upon this land by letting us have crops and food and beautiful cities and abundance of cattle. The next time you drive down the road and you look over here there and you see a great looking field with, man, a beautiful crop out there, you can thank God for it. So He gave it to us. Next time you see a great big city and there was a big mind or a designer behind that city, you can thank God for giving us men that could design such a creation as that. That's God's love towards us. We should observe those things. Next time you drive by a feed yard and you see all these cattle out there, and man, they just keep on having more cattle and more cattle and more cattle. Thank God. Anybody here like hamburgers? I haven't had one in a while. Been about 6 months, but God gives us cattle to eat. It's a good thing my daughter's not here. She'd disagree. She's totally vegan. Thank God for beef. Thank God for steaks. God's given them to us. Ground yields to us. We thank God for the engineers and the minds behind the structures of our beautiful cities. I don't know if anybody here has ever looked on the internet, but man, that city of Dubai, that place is beautiful, beautiful place. Somewhere over there in the Middle East. They have the most beautiful landscape and structures over there I've ever seen in my life. Do you know that God allowed the minds to design all of that? Do you observe these blessings? Do you recognize them as blessings from God? Or what kind of lens do you look through when you see all of that? Well, God not only accommodates people through good things and their habitations, but He rules over kings and princes. It says in verse number 40, He pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Man, He pours contempt on princes? What's contempt? Contempt is disrespect. The feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration or worthless and deserving of scorn. A prince, that's a king that was once ruling a nation. A prince that once had respect. A prince that once lived in a great big mansion. But now he's wandering around in the wilderness and people don't like him and they don't respect him. Who did that? God. God did. God said, okay, bud, it's time for you to step down. Nobody's going to respect you anymore. You're done. And He brings him down. Do you look through the lens like that of kings and presidents and people in rulership authorities? Do you look at those things that way? God so chooses, He can make them wander in a wilderness. God can turn a king that once held people in slavery and bondage and astonishment, He can wipe them down to the same place that He was holding people in slavery for before. He can bring them down. And the people that once respected and admired Him, they're going to hold Him in contempt because of God. Because of God. God has control over the governments and their leaders. And he can lead them in the direction of his own choosing. It says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. How's that? We've seen this in our lifetime. Anybody here remember Saddam Hussein? Yeah, about 03, 04, something like that. Man, that guy was a ruthless dictator. He used to do horrible, awful things to people that disagreed with him. He had pictures and statues all over Iraq of himself and used to go out and make this big display and get lauded and all of these things. And people used to just cheer for him. And boy, he was loved until somebody, another country came over and took him down. Because you know that God is in control of that. He brought him down. What happened to Saddam Hussein? Well, he had to go on the run. He had to wander out there in the wilderness, just like we read about in our text right there. He became a fugitive and a vagabond. And they found him hiding down in the bottom of a cellar, like a dog. That's where he was at. One man that was once respected had contempt poured on him. And what happened to him? They got a hold of him, and his own country tried him and hung him. God did that. God did it. You think about Adolf Hitler. Well, that guy thought he was going to take over the world. He was a world dictator, going to take over Europe, and pretty soon the whole world. And then God said, no, I'm going to send the United States over there, and we're going to stop him. And he found himself alone in a room, and he shot himself in the head. What do people think about Adolf Hitler today? Those who have good sense. What do they think about Adolf Hitler? He's hated. He's disrespected. They pour contempt upon him. See the same thing in the Old Testament with King Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, his heart was lifted up with pride, and he thought he could do whatever he wanted to do. And God says, no, you're going to go out there and you're going to wander around in the field and you're going to live like a dog. You're going to live like an animal. You're going to live like a beast, and I'm going to give you the heart of a beast. You're going to grow feathers and you're going to grow claws out like a bird. And he lost his mind because of God. Same way with Pharaoh. What happened to Pharaoh? Well, he was a ruthless dictator, but he found himself at the bottom of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel were on the other side of the Red Sea, and they were singing praises to God while he was drowning him and his men because of God. God. God is in control of these things because of pride and because of those things. It's an act of the loving kindness of the Lord. But in contrast to that, God raises up the poor, delivers them from their bondage and affliction, brings them to a place of respect. Verse 41 says, yet he sets the poor on high from affliction and makes his family like a flock. What does God say about the proud? The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That's an expression of the love of God. You see, it matters the lenses that you look through things at. How or what do you observe when you look and see all these things on the earth? Do you believe that they're just coincidences? That all they would have happened anyway, and really God is just kind of, you know, he's kind of out there somewhere, but he's not really working or doing anything. The events and elements in your life, what's going on there? Have you examined those things? You looked at those things and thought, well, I wonder why God has placed this person in my life. How I found myself in this place, at this job, at this point in my life, and why these things have happened in my life. Don't ever think, oh, well, just happened. No, I think God's trying to tell you something. I think he's trying to communicate something to you. It'd be wise for you to observe that. Then you can understand the loving kindness of the Lord, how good he's been to you. But many times, Christians live just like an unbelieving atheist. You know what the Bible says about the atheist? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. What do? They look around and they say, well, this is all just kind of spontaneously happened. I know it's kind of complicated. And I know it's kind of, you know, it's really intricate, but it just happened. You know, it's just evolution. It's just Mother Nature. and they go on about their merry way, they don't pay attention to God. They don't want to believe in God. Christians can do that a lot of times too. They look through the same kind of lenses as the atheist. Just about as spiritual sometimes too, aren't we? But what must we do to be a wise man and understand the loving kindness of the Lord? Well, like I said, observe the Lord's hand in everything, in nature, in His accommodations for us, in His control over kings. Observe that, but not only that, you better acknowledge Him in everything as well. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge Him in everything, but at number three, you should seek His Word in everything, because the Bible has the answer that you're looking for. It'd be wise for us to do that. I'll end with this portion of Scripture from Proverbs chapter 2 about seeking the Lord and His wisdom through His Word. Solomon's writing to his son. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path." Seeking after God in His Word. Let's pray.